Morning, guys. How we doing? Way to go. Thanks. Squeeze me. How we doing? Hey, guys. Anybody have one of these at home, a big trash can? Who's got one of those? Yeah? This is a familiar thing. It's kind of dirty, kind of nasty. When I was younger, my job, one of my chores was to take out the trash. Anybody else in here, that's your chore? That's what you got to do? You are charged with taking out the trash? So then it's probably a familiar feeling for those that have one of these, but for any of us, of what it's like to take out the trash, just kind of like you watched me do. You take this thing. I had a really long driveway growing up, so I had to roll this thing down. I had to carry two, kind of rolling them through. Sometimes it would dump over. Everything spills out. You got to clean it up. Nasty. And so I would finally get it down to the alley, and you know the experience of the stench of this thing. You know what I'm talking about? The amount of seepage that comes out of these trash bags and then cakes the lining. There is no lining. It just cakes the inside of this thing, and it smells terrible. So one of my least favorite things is when I take, trash day for me is Tuesday, when I take this thing down to the street, and then my mom would say, hey, Harrison, we still got another bag of trash you got to put in. You're like, oh my gosh, you're kidding me. And so I have to then take this bag of trash. I have to go out to the street, and you probably know exactly what's going to happen here. You have to hold your breath because it reeks. You lift this thing because you're about to be hit in the face with this unbelievable stench. And so as fast as you can, you try to lift it and you throw it in and you get down and you run away so you don't have to smell it. Anybody else do that? Because it's gross. It smells disgusting. Because it's trash. It's not supposed to be good. It reeks. It's nasty. But there's some people out there who even someone's trash, even these disgusting things, to them, it's treasure. They're called dumpster divers. Anybody know what dumpster diving is? Okay, I got into dumpster diving in junior high and high school. Dumpster diving is, some people will do it in trash cans like this, but these huge dumpsters behind, yeah, there we go, there's some guys doing it. They'll get in, they're looking for produce, but I mean, you have it behind a Walmart, behind a Kroger, like any store has these, and they just dump their stuff in there. And they get in, people will get in and sit in it like you saw those guys, or like dive in into it, and they see what kind of treasures they can pull out. Now remember, this isn't like when you're in kindergarten or first grade, you get this little pull-out thing of like, you can pick any prize you want. It's all good. It's a sticker, a little action figure. We're talking about trash. We're talking about like poured over Dr. Peppers and half-eaten Big Macs and probably meals from weeks ago that are just festering in there. And these guys and myself, so my buddy Adam and I, before Netflix, before Redbox, there was Blockbuster. Anybody in here know what Blockbuster is? I had a Blockbuster by my house, and I knew the day that they would throw all of their stuff away, and my buddy Adam and I would hop in the dumpster, not caring what's in there, not caring that we would ruin our clothes. We would get in the middle of the trash because we wanted to see what kind of trinkets and treasures we could get. Movie posters, cardboard cutouts. We would go through all of that and wade through the reek, the stench, the nastiness to get some little free tidbit that we thought we could put in our room and be this amazing thing. I was looking for something free and valuing that regardless of how it would affect me, would affect my clothes, would affect my world around me, because I just thought that was the treasure. And it was nasty. And guys, some of us in here, some of you, are looking for the thing in life that is going to be freeing and is going to set you free instead of looking for freedom in Jesus Christ and new life in him. You're looking for something in this world, something that might be good, that might be temporal, but it is not satisfying. It is not lasting. It will not give you fulfillment and satisfaction in the way you can find satisfaction in the eternity of knowing Jesus. And so we dig through the trash thinking that we are finding treasure, but all along we're missing where the treasure is really found. We're digging into Philippians. So to remind you where we've been, we've talked about living as Christ under this. Our tagline for the book of Philippians is to live as Christ. And so if I want to live as Christ, like we talked about in Philippians 1, I live as Christ because I have the mind of Christ, is what we talked about last week. If you missed it, it's online. You're welcome to check it out. I live as Christ because I have chosen to put on the mind of Christ and walk in humility. And today in chapter 3, I have the mind of Christ because I have faith in Christ. So this morning we're going to talk about faith. What is it? What does it look like? Where are we putting our faith in the wrong things? Where are we thinking that we're gaining faith, we're growing in faith, we're growing as better people or better believers, thinking we're finding treasure in the stuff around us, when really we're just wading through the trash that's there? Paul talks about it in Philippians 3. If you've got your Bibles, your phones, pull it out. We're going to go Philippians 3, 7 through 11, and we'll jump around some throughout this chapter and other chapters throughout the Bible. I'm going to read the whole thing, and then we'll dive into it, dumpster dive into it, and see what we can pull out of the treasures that are here. So Philippians 3, starting in verse 7, this is Paul saying, "But whatever gain I had, I count as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." The first point this morning: all you have, all that you do, anything you've done or will do, have or will have, is trash compared to the treasure of Jesus. Everything. So Paul says, I'm going to read that one more time, starting at verse 7. It says, "But whatever gain I had, whatever good things, whatever things that I were amazing in my life that set me ahead, whatever that was, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Okay, so he's saying these things that I have. Well, we just started in verse 7, but there's 6 verses before. And all of them are important, but some of them I want to show you because they're important to see his argument here. See, he uses a word, I said trash, he uses a word rubbish. What's he talking about? These things that I gain, these things that I have, these things that other people would say are good, compared to Christ, he's saying that's trash, that's worthless. I don't need it. So step back a couple verses with me. We're going to go to verse 4. Verse 4, this is Paul. He's talking about confidence in the flesh. And the context here is he's talking about there are these people, Judaizers, who are saying, no, you have to do these certain things. You have to look like this and be like this and act like this, or you are not righteous. You are not good. Paul said, okay, you want to talk about confidence in the flesh? You want to talk about a resume of things that make me a good man, a good religious person? I'll tell you. Verse 4, "Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone thinks that he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I got more." Check this out. Circumcised on the 8th day. That's awkward. We're just going to say that, but we're going to move on. Here we go. "Circumcised on the 8th day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless." Okay, Harrison, you just said a bunch of really old words that I don't understand. I don't know what they mean. You said them really fast, kind of preacher voice. Okay, let me help you unpack it here. Okay, I was born into a Jewish home. So on the 8th day, I'm supposed to be circumcised to show that I'm a good Jew for life and I'm bought into the covenant. Did it? Check. Of the people of Israel, I'm chosen. I'm one of God's people, of the tribe of Benjamin, the most beloved tribe, the one that was set apart by God as the best of the 12. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm the best of the best. If you want to look for a person to follow who's religious and good and the guy to speak out and know the faith, I'm him. As to the law, a Pharisee. What that means is you want to know about the law and how to live it out? I know it. I've memorized it. I've studied it. I've lived it. I've taught it. I am the best at the law. I'm a Pharisee. As to zeal, you want to know how much I believed in my faith? I killed Christians because I thought they were against the faith. I went and killed and murdered people because I was so passionate about being a good religious man. As to righteousness under the law, as to perfection because of what the law says, and if you do this, then you'll be good, I'm blameless. I've done it all, and I've done it right. You want to talk about confidence? I've got it. But you want to know where I don't and why I don't? Because of Jesus. Because he changed the game. Because it's not just about doing good and looking good and having this appearance of righteousness and religiousness and following the rules and the right things to be good and look good, because Jesus comes. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he says many things, and it says, hey, the law says this, the Ten Commandments say this, and that is true, but there's a heart issue too. It's not just don't murder, but don't harbor anger against your brother. It's not about just following the law, it's about following me, Jesus. So Paul says, hey, if you want to know what it looks like to be good, I had it. But he goes on in 7 and 8. And like we've read a couple times, he said, I count everything as loss. All that I had, all of that resume of things, all of these accolades, it is trash compared to the treasure of Christ. In the text, it says, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, because of the unbelievable value that is far better than riches, that is far better than any treasure you could imagine. Because I have Jesus, I don't need any of that stuff. Let me tell you what my resume is. For me, I grew up a good Christian kid, grew up in a Christian home, going to church all my life. I went to Christian school. My dad worked for Billy Graham. My grandparents, both sets of grandparents, were missionaries. I've been on mission trips all over the world. I've been to the Amazon jungle 5 times on mission trips. I'm a pastor. I'm going to seminary. But it's trash. Is it good stuff? Yeah. Is all of that bad? No. But if I put my hope in what I have done, I've missed it. And guys, this morning I'm talking to a bunch of church kids in Dallas, Texas. Many of you, maybe not all of you, probably not all of you, have grown up in this church, and you've heard this book taught your whole life, and you are blessed. But some of you, in hoping to grow as men and women of Christ, have missed the goal, which is Jesus. And you've just tried to do the doing and the growing and the obedience, and you look good on the outside. But maybe you're like me. Maybe you're like Paul. And you've missed that it is about Jesus and not about the outward appearance. Because all of those things, what we can do, what we can bring to the table, it's trash. It's garbage. It reeks and stinks compared to the glory of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. 7 and 8. I'm going to read verse 8 one more time. This isn't the only place that it talks about these gross analogies of what our good works does. There's another verse in Isaiah 64:6. It says, all of us have become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous acts, our good deeds, the things that we can bring to the table are like filthy rags, disgusting pieces of cloth, things that you're gonna throw away and don't ever wanna touch. It's garbage, it's trash. Well, but it's good, I'm growing, yeah. But you cannot get to God and earn his favor through the stuff that you do and what you bring. It's trash. That word rubbish in verse 8, that word garbage, it can be garbage, trash. In the Greek, it can be dung, excrement. I don't use this word on purpose a lot on stage, but it means crap. All of these things, I count them as crap. I count them as a heaping pile of poop. Here are my kids' diapers, okay? All the things that I think that I can do good, I can bring to the table. It's a nasty, smelly pile of poop. It's rubbish. All you have, all you can do is trash. compared to the treasure of knowing Jesus. Point number two, put your trust in the treasure, not in your trash. Right at the end of verse 8, it says, in order that I may gain Christ, going into verse 9, it says, and I'd be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, not these things that I think I can bring to the table, but reek compared to the sweet aroma of Jesus. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness of God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and I may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Guys, verse 9 is key. It is not a righteousness that we can do, but all what God has done. And he said it is through faith. Faith is trust. Faith is knowing. Faith is a fullness of belief in something that we cannot always see and feel tangibly, but is more real than we can ever understand. Faith, I'll define it this way. Faith is knowing and following Jesus. And guys, like we've already said, don't just do good and be good and look good and miss out on knowing him. Let Jesus be the goal. Let him be what you pursue. And the sweetness of who he is and the aroma of that and not this pile of garbage. There are a couple words that pop out in this passage to me. It says to know him. This isn't just knowing of him, knowing good things about him, knowing the facts about him, intellectually understanding more about God, but to know him relationally, intimately. And we talk about that a lot here. To know him. Do you guys know him? Not just about him? I wish I could spend more time in this passage, but for time we can't. We're going to move on. But to know Jesus. When we grow up as little kids, especially little boys, but little girls too, we have these vivid imaginations that dream of being pirates in these forts and storming castles. And ladies, you dream of dropping your hair down, Rapunzel, Rapunzel, and this Prince Charming coming and sweeping you off your feet, riding into the sunset, and a guy coming with this mask. Men, we believe that we're princes and storming the castle and taking the maiden and riding away. We're the hero. We dream of this adventure. And then we come to church, go to Bible study, we learn to be good little boys and good little girls, to follow our sweet Jesus, to pray and to love our grandfather Santa-like God, who if we just ask him, hello, God, it's me, Harrison. I've been a good little boy. I would like to grow in my faith. I would like to be more bold. I would like to not have pain and suffering in my life. And we miss who God is. We dream of adventure when we're young, and we miss the adventure that reeks, that pours out, that bleeds through this book. Do you know God? Do you know the Jesus of the Bible? Do you know the one that calls you to live a life of adventure? Not to seek for excitement, fulfillment, enjoyment in the trash of this world and think that we have to go to him when we're nice and good and all cleaned up and not smelling like garbage. Do you know the God that loves you through that? The God that pursues you passionately in the best lover of the world because he created it. The one who calls you in a life of adventure because you know him and live life with him. Do you know Jesus that way? That's the treasure. To know him. Not just know of him. Do you really know him? And finally, what you treasure determines what you do. Verse 14, 12 through 13 are really good, but just to go to verse 14, it says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The last point, what you treasure determines what you do. Remember, we've talked about everything you do, everything you have is trash compared to the treasure of Christ. Is your treasure Jesus? Is your prize Jesus. It says prize here. I'm going to use that word treasure that we've also used throughout the whole morning. That's also there as you look in the text. Is your prize Jesus, or is he a necessary obstacle to your growth and becoming a good man, a good woman, a good American, a good father someday, a good mother, a good husband, a good wife? Is Jesus the prize, or just a part along the way that you use whenever you want? Because verse 14, it says, Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press on because Jesus is the ultimate. Jesus is the treasure. Knowing Jesus, living with Jesus, being like Jesus, living with him forever, he is the prize. Matthew 13, 44, it talks about a man who goes and he sells all that he has. He takes everything he owns, everything that he could hold on to in this life, and he sells it so that he can go buy a field. Are you nuts? Because in that field, he found a treasure. And he was willing to take everything that he had and count it as loss for the gain that he had in Jesus. That's a parable in Matthew 13 about the kingdom of God, about the fullness of joy and treasure that we have in him. Is Jesus the prize I'm pushing towards? Is Jesus the treasure of our lives, or are we using the trash in our lives as a trophy and missing out on the point? Guys, in this life, there are many things that don't satisfy. There are many things that we dumpster dive through the grossness of this sin-filled world, and we try to find treasure in the trash. And so some of us in this life, we're looking for treasure in our brackets. Anybody else fill out Villanova winning and you're just toast like me? Anybody else choose Villanova?
No.
Okay, I'm the loser. Okay, some of us are finding hope in March Madness. That little tournament, that little sport pursuit, that's trash. Some of you, not just watching sports, but playing sports, you find treasure in academic success. Maybe you want to wear that jersey. Yeah, that's trash. Maybe you just want to get all these trophies. Woo! Look, these are some of my, like, piano recital. Yeah, I was a nerd. Okay, some of these, like, soccer trophies, all these trophies that we can get for participating. Or maybe you want a state championship one day. Those treasures and those trophies that we're holding on to for satisfaction in this life, I count it all as loss. It's trash. Some of you, you've got some awards, academic awards. I got an award in high school. Oh, Harrison, here's your frame, or here's a diploma. Yeah, that's garbage. It's trash. Academic success, athletic success. Maybe you find treasure. Your trophy is you want to be the best. You want to hold on to being the best at something. So you practice every day guitar. You pull out the flute, whatever it is, and you think that you are going to be this amazing musician someday that's going to get fame. Yeah, compared to Jesus, it's trash. Maybe you want to be a Minecraft expert. Who loves Minecraft out here? I know you do. Nice. Okay? Maybe you want to be the best at Madden. Maybe you want to be the best at whatever game that you can think of. But all these video games that we're trying hard at, that's garbage. But we're spending so much time. Some of you just called out, hey, not true. Yeah, well, it's because you're treasuring it. And you're missing out on the fullness of joy in Jesus. Are those bad? No. But if that's your ultimate, if that's your prize, if that's your pursuit, then you're missing it. Some of you want to have elite status. Any Boy Scouts in here? Huh? Yeah, I got a couple Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts. Maybe you want to be an Eagle Scout, and that's the ultimate for you. It's garbage. Maybe it's how much money you have. I got some money here, 20, 40, 50, 60. I got another 10, 70. Somebody wants 70 bucks right now? Some of us would do anything for a chunk of change. Guys, I'm telling you, if you are reading this passage with me, all of these things that we have or do, they're trash. The stuff we have, Beats by Dre, garbage. Cool, iPhone, garbage. Oh, sweet, Yeezys. Yeah, they're trash. I don't care if they're fake or real. Some of you know they're fake or real because you have studied them and you're pursuing them. And you guys, I want you to catch the point here. Okay? Remember at the beginning, this is the thing that reeks. And it's full of the stuff that we see as the biggest treasure in our lives. And guys, will you, like Paul, begin to take all this stuff and consider it everything that you have, everything that you've done, everything that you want, acceptance, popularity, to be the good kid, to be the best Christian in your school, to have perfect attendance, to never miss a small group, to always be at church? Are those good things? Are these bad things in and of themselves? No. But are you pursuing Jesus? Is he your prize? Is he your treasure? Because compared to Jesus, everything else is trash. And I pray that we will consider it all loss so that we may gain Jesus. I'm going to put a thing on the screen. If you got your phone, maybe you take a picture of it. Maybe you're taking notes, you write it down. Because here's the thing. When we have the treasure, when we have a prize we're pursuing, when we're going for something, if you want to run a marathon, then you're not going to just eat junk food. If you're wanting to get a good time in a marathon, you're not going to just consume all of this gummy bears and gummy worms, because you're going to want to discipline your body to win the race and win the prize at the end. You don't need that stuff. Instead of just going, okay, I can't have gummy bears. I can't have Sour Patch Kids. I can't have a Big Mac. You go, I don't need that, because that's not what I'm going for. That's not the prize. So here's what I want you to think through. I don't want you to answer yourself. Because of faith in Christ, what is it that you no longer need? I don't need blank, because I have faith in Jesus. I don't need this stuff. I don't need to be this picture of perfection. I don't need to be the one that is just trying not to cuss. I don't need to be the one that is looking for life and satisfaction in being the thinnest or the prettiest. I don't need to satisfy my fleshly desire with the stuff that's online. I don't need to have this status because of the stuff that I wear, the stuff that I have. Because I have faith in Jesus, and I know him, and the worth of knowing him is far greater than any of this garbage. Because guys, all we have, all we've done is trash compared to the treasure of Jesus. The end of Philippians 3. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to pray. This is Paul talking about comparison to the world around us and then those who have faith in Christ. Verse 19, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. From it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Heavenly Father, will you help us see the ways that each of us individually and as a culture are just wading through the trash that's here and trying to find life and satisfaction and treasure in the things that will not bring us satisfaction, even good things. Will you reveal that to each of us in our hearts right now? The stuff that we're idolizing, the stuff that we're pursuing. And Lord, this week, today, in small group this week, whenever, may we lay that before you. May we count all of those things as loss so that we may pursue you. Because you are the prize. You are ultimate. To know you, to be known by you, to live with you. And Lord, may we know that we have treasure in you now, and then we await a treasure in heaven because of our citizenship with you that is far greater than the fleeting things of this earth. Lord, will you strengthen our faith. May we not just know of you, but know you and walk with you. Will you give us strength to do that this week? Thank you that because of the death of Jesus and his resurrection, that you have given us new life and that we can, because of his death, be baptized with him and buried in death so that we can also walk in the newness of his life. I pray for those who don't know you, that they would know you, and ask questions of who you are so they could know the goodness of God too and the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.